Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault. That is Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today. Oh, we're going to flick fest the big, sexy Guardians of the Galaxy and a listener-assigned film that helps fill in a blind spot.
Oh, does it ever.
Does it ever. Hey,
we do mic checks. We got okay sounds over there.
Good. Yeah, we're doing
fine. Yeah, all right.
We're doing fine.
Yeah, Brian. Let's talk some movies today.
Let's talk movies.
I'm excited to bring the list. Also, I have one that I think you already watched, so I can fill in some blank spots. I got a couple that I know you've watched. One you've already flicked fast, I've been meaning to get it off the books.
Is it close
to Mario.
Is it the Super Mario Bros.?
We're not going to put it in the title because it's not going to attract any enthusiasm.
How do you know?
It's not going to bring in ears.
I don't believe so. I think that our ardent listeners are not going to be that pleased. However, I need to get off the books and I need to get to the bottom of Puss and his boots. So
blind
people are excited for this.
It's been months since I've seen it, so that was kind of the test too. I'm just going to go off of what I remember, which.
Since you saw it the first time?
Not a whole. Oh. The only time, Brian. And then also, I'd like to talk a little Judy Blume with you, if you're down. I know that you had teased that a couple weeks ago. I'm down with some Judy Blume talk, cool. if you'd like. So Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, thanks to Tyler Booth. And then Guardians of the Galaxy, the final installment of the trilogy.
Guardians trilogy, correct. Yes. Excited for that. Hey, do you have a website for your movie? Loaded for Bear.
LoadedForBearDoc.com. Mm-hmm. And you guys are all being, so far, the people that have come in big, and you're really helping this endeavor move forward. And I just went on and on about it on, I got a movie to make, Loaded for Bear, let's make this movie. That's the long title. It's not really called that. It's just, let's make this movie. But yeah, I'm in my head a lot, Brian, as you know.
Understood. It's you.
You've worked with me for a while.
That's right.
And I usually, especially things that matter, that are important to me, I'll run the worst case scenario.
Okay.
In my head.
Sure.
Repeatedly sometimes.
It's important. You're starting at an adventure. You want to know what's the floor for this? What's
right.
The floor.
And I've been doing it my entire life, and Jillian does not like this at all, but it works for me and there's no changing it. I know that I'd have to do probably years of therapy to actually move away from this because it's so instinctive for me.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
I don't think it is. It can be, especially if you're
don't dwell on it, but you should be aware. Like, okay, if this fails epically, here's what we're looking at.
Yeah. And here's how I approach it. And here's what, plan B, C, and D are. Jillian doesn't like it. She has to, hear me say it.
Okay, so it sounds like you dwell on it.
No, but I'll do what I do in my head, but sometimes I'll voice it. Like, if we're going somewhere, I'm like, if the line's going to be like an hour long, honey, and we're driving all this way, we should figure out something else. And she's like, why are you assuming that it's going to be an hour long? I'm like, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, if it is.
You and I are the same way. No, right. Exactly.
She likes to go in thinking, like, the line's not going to exist. We're going to go in, get out with what we want.
The bill's going to be calmed.
Yeah.
You tell me this makes sense. We went to a Christmas thing, Christmas
gathering.
Yeah, not a
party.
Pageant.
No, it's like at a park.
Coronation.
And there's a Santa and there's a whole Christmas festival type thing with Chrissy's parents and Tessa last year. And we showed up and they got the time. Someone got the time wrong. It's not important who, but it wouldn't open for like another 2.5 hours.
Was it Tessa?
One of the ladies did.
Was it
Tessa?
No, it's not Tessa. Tessa was innocent in this. We got there at 2. It opened at 4:30. And I said immediately, This is our window. This is our window to go to a restaurant, to enjoy, to watch some college football, to have a beer.
Everyone wants to do that.
And everyone's like, no, let's just wait.
Mm.
So I guess what we did.
You waited.
Waited for 2.5 hours.
Very different from what I'm talking about.
But
yeah. I mean, if you had already had plan B set up, though, and agreed upon, and they would have said, oh, that's not going to happen, so I'll agree upon plan B.
But I'm saying you're trying to avoid that.
See, yeah, that's exactly. Where you go, I think I left the keys in the car, and you just walk around.
All I hear is squealing tires.
I'm going to go find a bathroom.
I'm on the phone with AAA right now.
I got to meet the guy. It's a new service. You get 10% off.
So, what I was saying is just before, you know, for the last couple of years, since I've known that this was the plan, I've been running in my head, not, you know, obsessively, but once the campaign begins, I do the same thing with groupers. Like, what if, like, you know, $100 comes in or $75 comes in and then it just stops? Mm. It would be very embarrassing and it'd be very sad because the ideas and the plans that I have, that we all have for this project are massive and big and
indeed.
And good. Like, for the, you know.
Worthwhile.
Worthwhile, yes. So. That is no longer going through my head at all now.
Oh, good.
That you know, there's actual money coming in the door.
You're in the range. You feel comfortable.
Have you flipped the script yet and gone around the corner and thought, oh, fuck, now it has to be good?
No.
Because that is the worst when you have it on both ends.
No, of course.
Fuck, no one's going to support it. And then on the other end, you go, oh, fuck, people support it. It's got to be good.
It's good, though, because the pressure's on. And yeah, of course, I've had a couple. Usually it's when I first wake up and I'll start thinking about it. And I'm still like groggy and I'm half asleep. And I'll start trying to like improve upon it when I'm before I'm even out of bed. I'm like,
yeah.
And then I start panicking because my brain is so groggy. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop thinking about the project when you first wake up because you're not in the right mindset, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had a couple of moments of like, oh my God, what am I doing? But that, you know, the fear always sets in when you first wake up and then you wake up and you get your feet under you and you're good to go.
Get
but
that coffee.
And I talked a little bit more about it on Let's Make This Movie about the broadest plan of all is to actually get a legacy going for the woman who runs his acting class and nice. To have not only the name of what she does over there, but also the way she does it expand into various places and have some systems in place that will ensure that it's going to continue to grow and move forward for years to come. That's
a noble goal.
It's an exciting goal. And you know, it's all kind of, as far as the plan, it's all falling into place so far. So, and due in large part to the people that have come in and really helped make not one, but ultimately two movies as well as a legacy. So, thank you to everyone who has given. You can find more about it on loadedforbeardoc.com.
Too exciting.
And why did you want to bring that up, Brian?
Because you were trying to get a website name from that fucker.
Yeah, listener, Jeffrey Covey, he reached out to the person that owns loadedforbear.com, who's not a fucker, but I talked a little bit about it last week, how I put my foot in my mouth and I sent an email back to Jeffrey and saying, oh, so this is the fucker's name that owns this website? Because you always get mad when you're trying to get a URL. I don't know if, I imagine a lot of you have done that.
I've been through the exact same thing.
And you see that it's owned and you're like, oh, and they're not doing anything with it. And there's a little bit of ire there. So that's all it came from. But of course, the guy, the fucker that owns it, saw that email and now.
He's since become a fucker.
He's just dark now. He didn't. Oh. I sent him an email. A couple emails. I left him a phone, a voicemail. And then I was talking about it on the After Disaster, and Carano's like, I totally get it. I would totally blow you off as well if I was that guy. I'm like, really? What? Curiosity wouldn't get the best of? Anyways, it's not that important. Ultimately, Jeffrey, thank you for doing that. Ultimately, though, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable with somebody else pointing to our site, especially for everything that we're trying to do. I don't like you being able to just turn. And then what am I going to do? Like, plug loadedforbear.com for the next, you know, 6 months, and then it's not that anymore because good this point. Guy decides to make his dreams
on
come true.
I am in the same boat as you where you said you'll be monitoring that for the rest of your life.
For the rest of my life.
I am curious what that's to meant to be.
If I had to guess, nothing comes of loadedforbear.com ever. If I had to put some money down right now, I bet loadedforbear.com, he lets it lapse like 3 or 4 years from now and just nothing comes of it. But
I hope somehow it's a household name. I don't know what that scenario would be, but I just love the idea.
It's the new Twitter.
Yeah.
When Twitter goes away.
Twitter meets Bass Pro Shop. It's just, you know, corners of market on the
rasp.
I've been to a Bass Pro Shop.
I just was at one a couple months ago, six weeks ago. I think right outside of Vegas. I can't remember. We travel a lot for the business for Addie's Antiques.
Oh, that's the big pyramid, right? Isn't that the crazy one?
That's the one I've been to. That's in Memphis. That
really?
Used to be the University of Memphis's basketball stadium. Okay. And it's a pyramid. It's a glass pyramid. And they turned it into a fucking like 4-story Bass Pro Shop. It's incredible.
We got a pyramid at Long Beach State University, which is where I went, CSULB. Mm-hmm. We got a big blue pyramid. I used to work out there. There was a gym. Frog's Gym was in the, I don't know if it's still there. And then you could overlook and watch the volleyball team practice on the court there. Yeah, it's
pretty
a stadium,
good.
I guess. All right, what are we doing? We should be talking about movies.
It's
a big, fat, juicy week to talk about films.
Oh, better enjoy it. Next week's a little bereft.
No,
not this coming week.
It's the three movies. It's May 12th has three movies that are on my top five summer.
That can't be right.
It's 100% right. I don't know how I'm going to make this work, actually.
This might be a problem.
Why? You confused? We got Fool's Paradise coming out, Blackberry, as well as Still, a Michael J. Fox movie, which is a documentary about, get this, Michael J. Fox. All three of those movies come out on May 12th. I want to see all three of them. They're all on my summer preview list. So I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I was fooled by my normally reliable box office mojo. Mm. Only Blackberry is listed as coming out. They don't list Fool's Paradise or the Michael J. Fox film.
Probably limited, but Blackberry is
outrageous.
a new type of movie, which we might be seeing now. Where it's like products get a biopic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We just had Tetris a few weeks ago, and now Blackberry and...
No, the one in between. Air.
Network.
Air.
Like these products are being celebrated.
That's right.
Right? These corporations are celebrating their product through biopics of their product.
That's interesting. This is a real wave.
I might hate them all before long.
That's usually how they do it, right? They just wear you down and tell you, oh, Jesus Christ.
We've run out of people to do biopics for, and now we got to do...
The musician one didn't go as long as I thought.
You know, the first one I saw that I absolutely loved was Who Killed the Electric Car. That was a biopic about the electric car way back when.
I guess it was.
I think it was like 2005. I remember so enraged, Brian. I lived like 3 miles away from the theater where I was seeing Who Killed the Electric Car. And I didn't do it, but I thought about it. I'm like, I really wanted to just walk home, not drive that gas-guzzling fucking car.
I'm trying to remember. Was it about one specific company's electric car, or was it about the technology?
It was about the original ones. Remember the ones we saw time ago, and they looked awful. They looked like they belonged in Europe, and they had like the covers over the back wheels.
Weird boxy things.
Yeah. You still see them every now and again. But the movie's fantastic. It's called Who Killed the Electric Car? There's actually a sequel as well. It wasn't as good, but companies got together and they actually went out and rounded them up, bought them, and just crushed them.
Mm-hmm. Remember, Danny DeVito was pissed.
The history of Los Angeles itself is fantastic. I think they get into that as well.
Oh, really?
On
so much drive.
I believe it was Goodyear that came in, and they pretty much destroyed all of our public transit. We had like the best... We're on pace to have the best public transit in the entire world.
Oh, I remember this,
And they're like, no, let's turn this into a driving town so that we could sell more tires and ultimately more gas. Yeah, we get screwed as the people quite often, guys. I think we're aware of that.
That's the bottom line.
Can we do a little fanfiction? Oh, and then if we have time, either on this episode or next episode, I'm going to read an email from Giovanni. Please keep me honest. Have you read this email?
I have not yet. And then Brian prompted me that you would be reading it. So I've saved my reaction for the show.
I was laughing so hard. I was crying a little bit. And then I took the chance and I had Jillian read it. She too was amused, which I was happy with. It's not the kind of thing where if you have no context, it's funny at all because it's tragic. It's like the worst tragedy you can imagine.
It's tragic.
But Giovanni paints his past. I don't know how much embellishment is there, but the way that he paints his past, he is the most victimized human being in the history of the world.
His backstory is that of a supervillain. An origin story.
Yeah, how they became became like so angry with the world.
Yes. I'm not saying he is, which he might be.
He might be on his way.
It is what you would see in... And
it's like Unbreakable. It's
film.
Like Mr. Glass, where he's just got the clippings and the...
Imagine Joker had an origin story that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And Giovanni is... He might be... I know you're probably listening. For those of you who might...
You have to do a wellness check if wasn't.
He's outside with a stethoscope against the wall.
Be familiar with Giovanni. Giovanni is a super fan. Giovanni started with Corolla. He's a super fan of many, many things. And I think that if he was tested, I think he might be genius level.
He retains an incredible amount of information.
He is one of the smartest people I know.
Yeah.
And he has a real knack for writing. And especially when he's writing about his checkered or his tragic past.
Sorted.
And I cannot wait to read you the email of 10-year-old Giovanni. The reason why Giovanni no longer dances.
It's like Gremlins, and that's why I hate Christmas.
Yes, it is almost on par with that story. So yeah, we'll get there. Giovanni lives on in my household. He's the one who
Gio Johnny.
Yeah, he had me begin watching the Spider-Man cartoons with Atticus, which we watched hundreds of episodes now thanks to Giovanni's pushing, and also he's given gifts to Atticus to the point that he's like lore in Atticus's mind. He named his first and only pet, which is a little betta fish. Atticus named it Captain Gio Johnny because he thinks Giovanni's name is Gio Johnny, which is adorable.
Yeah, I mean, he might want to legally change it. That's pretty good.
Gio Johnny's not bad.
Gio Johnny's very good.
That's right.
All right, so let's talk fan fiction.
Yeah, what have the people seen?
Fan fiction compiled by the Mitch Burns. Greendale Grizzlies. There we go. Is it all working?
Everything seems to be
Greendale Grizzlies on Reddit. Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Emotional, exciting, funny, and undoubtedly a James Gunn movie. Love the intimate nature of the mission, which gave our heroes a well-deserved send-off, and probably the best trilogy in the MCU. 4 out of 5.
Top 5 MCU trilogies next week.
There's still Deadpool 3 to come.
Zesty Close Dig on Reddit. Guardians of Galaxies 3, pretty emotionally heavy, at least for a Marvel movie. I liked it, but unlike just about every other Marvel movie or superhero movie, I wouldn't describe it as fun.
Oh.
Maybe just the mood I'm in. Good to see they wrapped up the trilogy before they ran the characters into the ground. I'd be happy enough to see Pratt return again in a solo project. What do we think the FTV score for Guardians is?
I'll bet it's high. 80, 85.
I'm going like 90-ish.
92.
Oh,
nice.
Christine W. on Facebook. Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. Cute. I think it was an all-female crowd in my small theater, and there were a lot of laughs. Pretty straightforward coming-of-age movie for women who are nostalgic for their tween years. I was more in the mood for Renfield, but there was only one showing that day. Grr.
There were a lot of blood in both.
At SLC Movie Junkie on Twitter. I saw a pre-screening of Hypnotic from Robert Rodriguez starring Ben Affleck. I really enjoyed it. It's a sci-fi movie with some crazy stuff. I especially enjoyed the many Easter eggs referencing Rodriguez Tarantino's past movies, like the joke from Desperado. His best, question mark? No, but thumbs up. And from
his best, the Mitch Burns.
No. I love that. And from the aforementioned Mitch Burns, thanks to Anderson, I spent my entire showing of Sisu comparing it to John Wick 4 and defending John Wick in my mind.
Oh, no.
I liked it, but I need to rewatch it and not think of Anderson. Lol.
Usually good to do that, not think of me while watching. Not think of anything other than the movie. That's usually the
yeah, move. If your mind's drifting to podcast hosts, I think you're doing it wrong.
I personally made a terrible mistake in my watching this past week.
Oh, you did.
I listened to a certain co-host of the show.
Oh, no.
Who recommended a movie that is streaming on Peacock. It was written and directed by one M. Night Shyamalan.
That's not me. I'm off the hook.
Cabin in the Woods, sweet.
I saw a little Knock at the Cabin.
That's right, Knock at the Cabin in the Woods.
I had not seen a single frame of the trailer. I was hoping to be surprised, and
was not.
Every single second proceeded as I would have guessed until the very end, and he didn't even do me the service of giving me a twist. It was the one
that is the twist.
I was praying for there to be a twist. I was going, please, please try something. Please let it not just be exactly what I thought. Right. And then it just ends, and I went, he got it.
That's the ultimate twist.
Twist is sometimes no fucking twist.
Sometimes it's the twist you don't play.
He got me.
That might come into play with this week's top five irresponsible gun owning scenes, gun handling scenes. Yeah, it might be. Sometimes it's the no guns you don't play.
Right? But I also saw Bo is Afraid. And there is a lot,
so much to talk
going
about.
On there.
So much to talk. I made a declaration that's probably false that I'm going to be going to back to for more Bo is Afraid. I want to go see that fucker in the theater again.
I have no idea what he was trying to say.
It had something to do with parenting?
I guess. I did enjoy the graffiti throughout the film, one of which was just a man sucking his own dick. Yes, and with the subtext, don't mind if I do. Yes,
I saw that. I saw that and laughed out loud when I saw there was. I had no idea Ari Aster was funny. He is fucking hilarious. I like that movie a lot. I want to say love, but did it fall off for you a little bit when they went to the woods?
Yeah, I was really in on the first half, maybe even two thirds.
Yeah,
the
first stuff where he's living by himself in the city, the second stuff where he's living in the suburbs with the family, and then he goes into the woods.
And even then, I'm kind of going, okay, where there's the more fanciful sequence, and I'm going, okay. And then it just...
You're talking about the woods?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's some good stuff in the woods, but it was starting to lose you. Much like the lobster. Yeah, they go in the woods there, and they kind of lost us
as well. The woods is where it all fell apart.
It's not the right phrase, but I could have used a little more spoon feeding. Just a little bit. Mm. Just a spoon.
Well, maybe that's what a second and third viewing's for.
There were no spoons. And I'm not sure if there's any spoons to be had in the future.
Him racing to his front door... And just to save his own life. And then once he gets in, just like acting as though it's normal, because that's what he does every single day. We're led to believe when Tattoo Man is chasing him down, was so fucking funny.
Nathan Lane rules. Astounding.
Yeah. This might be one of my favorite moments of the year. By the time everything's said and done, I might be talking about this in the vault he's next to. Wow.
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
He's so good. He's so just placating left and right. It's so good. Bo's Afraid, highly recommend.
Joaquin Phoenix might come up on the next episode.
Oh yeah. Okay,
very enjoyable. Better than Knock at the Cabin. Don't knock. Go see Bo.
Well, how about you watch Targets and Even the Playing Field? Okay,
now I'm afraid Brian's maybe gun shy.
Brian,
I got a lot of recommendations. I got a lot of recs.
All right, let's talk Guardians of the Galaxy.
You want to lead off with Big Sexy?
Why not?
Well, first. A friend of the show has come up on the show before.
Gio Johnny.
Recommended, nay, insisted that we watch Guardians of the Galaxy 2.5, aka the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special,
right.
Which I did.
Mm. Oh, I heard good things about this.
It's good. He called it, quote, essential viewing.
Mm, well, damn. That's Gio. He's colorful with the words.
Indeed.
Doesn't hold back.
And he also is, I believe he's all in on certain aspects of the MCU.
Certain aspects. Like there's things that just say M on them that he's into because it...
the possibility might be that it says Arvel afterwards.
3M is his favorite brand.
He went to Macy's just the other day.
Just in case. Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special came out in 2022. 3M. Written and directed by James Gunn and stars everyone you'd expect in one of these. Plus, it's not really...
Mm-hmm. This is the holiday special that came out last, I guess, November, December.
Yeah, like Thanksgiving time. You guys tell me. There is a...
No, you can talk about Kevin Bacon all you want.
Okay, Kevin Bacon, good. Because he is introduced in the first act of this 45-minute romp. Mm-hmm. And it is a romp. It's fun. It's 45 minutes long. It feels... It zips by. This thing, I thought it was like 20 minutes when it was over.
It does go by fast.
You saw this. Mm-hmm. You didn't talk about it, though.
No.
Okay. 92% of Rotten Tomatoes. Yes, it has a Rotten Tomatoes score. Disney Plus is where you can stream this, of course. Essential viewing, according to Giovanni.
I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't call it essential. I feel like I was able to follow Guardians 3 just fine.
Okay, now, sorry MCU nerds, which nerds are no longer pejorative, right? Mm-hmm. I think that it's some people wear that badge with...
I don't think there's tattoos of that.
Okay. So yeah, when I call you nerds, I mean that you know way more about the MCU than I do. And Gio, please, I don't need a long email explaining because it's just a simple question here. The family matter that occurs that is stated as fact in Galaxy Guardian Guys Holiday, Volume and Girls Volume 3. The one that's in the actual movie, the Volume 3, where there's like brother-sister action going on. Not action isn't like, you know, like taboo, but like...
They know.
Like... Were because there's a lot of things that I don't remember Volume 2. It's been a long time since I saw Volume 2. I didn't go rewatch it. We're watching television episodes with like 3 years in between. And I'm not giving you more time by going and watching catch up stuff. I barely do that with Succession when it comes back, and that's one of my favorite shows. I'm not gonna go back and rewatch Volume 2, guys. I'm just not gonna do that. I'm not gonna watch a nerd Succession. Tell me what I need to know. So I was a little lost, like, why isn't this person there? They must be dead. Probably happened in the last one. Why is she there? And then there was like a brother-sister angle. Mm. And I don't think that you know about that unless you watched this holiday special.
I guess so. And then also they introduced the space dog. Apparently that's the first time you see space dog is in the holiday special. But
it's sounding fairly essential.
But I mean, space dog, you can catch relevant up. I watched these out of order. So I took... Geo's heating as well, and I watched it with Atticus. I watched the holiday special. It felt weird watching a Christmas special in May, I'm going to be honest.
There's also two full musical numbers, so like the actual content is 28 minutes?
Fuck-ish. It's not essential, but it goes down smooth. It's fun.
It's not a waste of your time. It's enjoyable.
Atticus was very concerned and very worried. He realized he was watching something that was a little bit above his pay grade at this age, and he was covering his face. I'm like, but they're not going to kill. He's like, oh, they're totally going to kill him. I'm like, they're not going to kill Kevin Bacon, Atticus. You can relax.
They're wearing Santa hats.
Yeah. And sweaters. And he was, there's some laugh out loud moments from Batista, which it's just the best.
That is what I heard, is that Drax shines.
Enjoyable.
Such a great character.
Very enjoyable.
He's the only
star of Cabin in the Woods.
Can I say this?
And unfunny in Cabin of the Woods.
Not funny.
Way off mark when I say that Drax is the only character.
Knock at the Cabin. We keep making that mistake.
I was intentional.
Maybe Star-Lord to a lesser degree, but Drax is the only character that really nails the note for me. Rocket's voice just never really sounded. I mean, I know it's made partially for kids or younger people, but it seems put on. It seems cartoony. None of the characters really nail the note that I think they're going for, at least what I would want to see, except for Drax.
You know what's funny? I think I thought that up until this movie, Volume 3, not the holiday special, because I was thinking about, like, Drax is the only character I really, really, like, enjoy. But then I was thinking about Nebula's almost Giovanni-esque, like,
dour take on the world.
My father replaced my eyes as a form of torture. Yeah. I find that to be funny. Mantis is a one note character, but that note's good.
I don't know. Is it? It's very high pitched.
In two, it was very. She's very good.
Yeah.
I just rewatched last week.
Huh. Okay. So you did the homework.
Yes. Well, I haven't watched the Christmas yet, so.
The first half, are we beyond the Christmas one?
Sure. Should we talk about it? Or?
Sure. I mean, we can. It's fun. It's straightforward.
Yeah. I mean, it's a silly run. It almost feels like a play, like your kids would put on. You know what I mean? It's very.
But it's high production value. Don't let that confuse you. Oh, for sure.
No, sorry.
It's
what I mean is like.
Multi-million dollars.
The plot is absurd.
Yeah.
Quill is feeling low at Christmas time, so his friends rally around, travel to Earth, kidnap his favorite childhood hero, Kevin Bacon, his favorite protagonist, and bring him back as a gift, which Quill assures them you cannot give a human.
You know what I would have liked a little bit more is if Kevin Bacon is very affable, and even when these two creature weirdos are bothering him on Christmas Eve, as you'll be led to believe, broaching his private property, knocking on the door. First of all, they ring the doorbell, like the video doorbell, and he's very affable and nice. Hey, guys, please leave. It's inappropriate. And then they're knocking the door. He's still fairly chill until they break into the house, and I think that's when he really freaks out. I would have liked to see a dick version of him. You know what I mean? Like, you know how they do that?
Sure.
Like, they play themselves as assholes. Yeah. Like, he obviously said, I'll do this, but I want to be, like, cool Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen, like a Rick Dalton version.
Like a beat it.
A Rick Dalton, like, I pay property taxes up the butt for this.
Oldest Margarita.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like drunk alone at home with no family. Like, that would have been more fun for me.
Surrounded by bottles.
Yeah. See, that's what I wanted. But I didn't get it.
Still fun.
It's still
fun. And I guess borderline essential. I mean,
no.
I was able to follow number three pretty easily.
I mean, I think that watching volume two probably would have filled in some more guys. Like, there's people like Whistle Arrow guy. Like, I'm like, where are they? I was look.
Oh, Yondu? He died, I thought.
Apparently.
Spoilers.
I forget.
Well, number two.
All right, because I haven't bought into MCU yet. I'm still waiting for that to take hold.
Give it time.
You're going to enjoy it right when it goes away.
All right, let's talk about volume three.
Okay, Guardians of the Galaxy volume three is the big sexy movie of the week, a 2023 film in theaters now, written by James Gunn, starring Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan, Bradley Cooper, I read this last night. The Mantis, Clementine Leaf?
No, you got
Clementine Leaf.
That's exactly how she says it.
Clementine.
Oh, she says it that way, I think.
Too. Oh, okay. Will Poulter. You still haven't seen Where the Millers?
No, I don't need to. I'm good.
Maybe I'll watch along this one.
I'm fine.
Will Poulter from Where the Millers. Sean Gunn. Chukwudi Iwuji, Nathan Fillion, and Sylvester Stallone. 82% of Rotten Tomatoes. This is in theaters now. What are your thoughts on Guardians Volume 3? Surprisingly empty theater when I saw it.
Surprising.
It was an off time, but for these big movies, they're usually
pretty on, especially with it being, maybe the kids aren't out enough yet.
Yeah,
my possibly. Theater was a late night Sunday night, and it was pretty packed.
Okay,
so I'm not worried about the MCU.
they'll be just fine.
I like this franchise more than others for sure. Usually they have more for me in there, and I was kind of three-starring this movie. till about the halfway point, there were many things that were bugging me that just seemed dumbed down.
Straight to four.
And then it went up to like four, four and a half, maybe by the time it's over. Like halfway through the movie, there were so many punches pulled. There was so much, just like some of the insults back and forth just seemed like playground stuff from 10 years ago. Some of the dialogue was just stale and just it just wasn't really hitting on all cylinders until they actually went into the science lab. This ultimately became, I don't know if you remember Frankenstein's Army, which was about, this got a whole lot of Nazi stuff going on to it, right?
Sure.
It's got a whole
eugenics and yeah.
And it's, there's this small B like exploitation, horror film from a few years ago that I was very excited about. Great fucking trailer, but the movie doesn't really hold its own, but it's called Frankenstein's Army. And it's about like the Nazis were doing all of these crazy experiments, which they were, but, that's what Frankenstein's Army is all about, is these hapless military come across this lab and then they have to fight all these crazy creatures.
So similar to like Toy Story, where Sid's...
can't not think about Toy Story when you're
Sid's special. Sid's assembled
when,
army.
When you see Rocket's little lab friends, right? Mm. Which I appreciate very much, because how much can we actually say here? But he's got these friends. It's his origin story.
Yeah.
It's his backstory. And we realize that, because I think some iteration of Spider-Man I was watching or something, he's a alien that just happens to look like a raccoon, or maybe that's the story he tells people because he's embarrassed of his backstory. I don't know. But we see that he was created in a lab early on in the movie. I'm not giving anything away.
They definitely alluded to it, I think, in Guardians 1, where he talked about being poked and prodded and experimented on. So you got a hint of that. But this is the story.
This is the story. And then you see, like, obviously there's other animals that are being experimented upon. And the main group of friends, he's got three friends in there, and we'll leave it at that. These are not marketable.
No kid is going to sleep with this plush.
McDonald's is not doing
a stuffy.
They can, but they got the other characters, but there was plenty of opportunity to merch this stuff, right? Market this stuff. And I really like the fact that obviously James Gunn, there was conversations, you know that.
Can we make it cute?
Yes. Can we make it cute? They went out of their way to make these things uncute. There's a certain creature that has Clockwork Orange eyes going on.
That's right.
His eyes are forever open due to experiments. It was not hard for me to get on this train and hate all of the scientists. Mm. They went the extra length to make them even more atrocious and despicable. Mm. But I mean, as soon as I saw that there's any kind of experimentation and plus where they kept these animals, I'm like, I would like to peel their skin off myself. Like, I would enjoy that. Mm. I would
like to torture. Well, Rocket did that.
So I really did like it once it started getting even darker. And it seems like some of that bad dialogue that was bothering me, at least at first, like there's one, I'm bad with the characters' names and whatnot, but like douche something or else was things that were supposed to be funny that just felt, you know, like when you're at a party and someone says something funny, but no one really knows each other, so everyone laughs. It was like that. It felt like that in the theater. And people were kind of forced laughing some of this stuff.
Do you think subliminally, we as viewers, I was wondering this myself, my expectations have been stretched for James Gunn vis-a-vis Suicide Squad, which was more of an, I think it was a rated R, right? It was pretty, it was pretty violent. Whereas this is more for kids and it's, you know, PG-13 or whatever. Were we expecting subliminally, almost subconsciously, something different?
Yeah, I think so with James Gunn. Now it's the Suicide Squad and yes, it is R rated. Yeah, whenever James Gunn now, especially now, because we know what he's capable of. When we did as well with Super, I think, from way back when, right?
Peacemaker.
We got to see Slither, Peacemaker. But there's a scene, and I thought about this quite a bit. I'm allowed to talk about it. I'm not giving anything away.
Please.
But all these movies have.
Oh, you can't do that.
So. All these movies have. Usually, it's the reaction shot that I really get bothered by. Like it'll be a character you've never seen before, and they'll be reacting to something that is already there on the screen. In this case, it was a large number of things coming in one direction. And you're already feeling it because it's done right. But then just to make sure, they give you that Spielberg moment where they show a character who you've never even seen before reacting to it. Just letting you know. She actually said audibly, "Whoa." And in that moment, I'm thinking, this is what's wrong with this fucking movie. It doesn't need these things. And I'm surprised that James Gunn would actually put these in there. Moments later, her face is being ripped apart. And I think that was James Gunn saying, yeah, I hate it too. I took that to mean that. I don't know if I'm making shit up.
I can see that.
But there's no need for that. And she was innocent. Like she was one of the good people. And her face is now being ripped apart. And it's not bloody or anything, but you can see that she's
undergoing some trauma.
Yeah. And I have to imagine that was intentional.
Okay. I didn't think about that, but you're right. That
do you remember the scene I'm talking about?
Yeah, towards the end. Yeah.
It was played for laughs, but I think there might have been a little bit more behind it. So I think that, yeah, you would see him pop up and you would see him really take charge. And then you would see like Marvel and Disney take charge for a while. It was one of those.
Do you think you'll be in on James Gunn's DCU?
Yeah, if it's anything like the Suicide Squad, I'm in.
Do we think there's a chance it'll all be like, can it? Because I'm cautiously optimistic. It's just been so bad for so long.
I think the Suicide Squad exists as a singularly comic voice. I don't think they know like Batman or Superman.
But if it's anything other than Snyder style, you know, I kept thinking of that too. Like when I was watching this one, I'm like, this is so different than like what they're, DC's trying to find their footing. They're trying to find, you know, the right tone. And that's hard when you're, a lot of similarities too to Nausicaa, the Valley of the Wind, which we're going to be talking about here in a minute, as far as creatures and abominations that were scientifically invented. Yes, right?
They were created rather than evolved.
Yeah, but like War Pig, I could have seen an entire movie with just War Pig talking about Guardians again. He was one of the guards.
Oh, yes. One of the,
There was a whole lot of fun here.
It is. There's a lot of fun. You know what's weird? I don't know if maybe I'm the only, I picked up on this. I don't know. Did you notice there were some odd, clunky transitions between scenes? Did that ever occur to you?
I saw a lot of clunk. Nothing specifically that I can be, like when this happened. But yeah, there was, especially in the first half of the movie, and it seemed to kind of find its way in the second half, which is, you see that sometimes. But was there anything specific you
could? The only one that I remember specifically when I made the note in my head of like, that was a weird, look, when there was a, remember there was an action sequence where all the Guardians are in like a hallway and they're fighting in like slow motion?
That was a great set piece, by the way. It was a great action sequence.
And then the transition to the next scene was clunky.
Was it like a fade or a dissolve?
No, it was almost the opposite. It was almost like a
smash cut.
Anyway.
I don't remember what happened, what preceded that, but I do remember saying, this is interesting action. Like, and there's a number of action sequences, as you would imagine, with this movie, for those of you who have not seen it. That one in particular was one that they obviously had circled on the calendar. Sure. Like they spent a lot of time on that one in particular.
Reminiscent of the scene, not the same, but similar to the scene we like so much in X-Men with the slow motion Quicksilver.
You know, he always delivers, right? Yeah. Like Atomic Blonde, like there's that one scene. It's a one take.
In the hallway or the stairwell.
It's impressive for different reasons, but they did some really inventive fun stuff with the one you're talking about. And they do that fun little trick too, where this movie is exceptionally violent, but the creatures they happen to be slaughtering left and right don't bleed red. So yes, I think the censors, the MPA is cooler with giving them PG-13 because it's yellow sloshing all through.
It's a real hack to get a PG-13 rating.
It really is. I mean, like, going back to Scorsese, what he did with Taxi Driver all those years ago is he put like a red tint over the film for the final scene, which was exceptionally bloody, but it made the blood pop a little less. Nowadays, you know, you take the vibrance down. Right. That got them through with the censors. They're like, okay, we can't, the red is not popping as much, the red blood, so we won't give you an NC-17 or an X, which was what they were threatening at the time.
There's a lot of fun stuff in this movie. I think I was hoping for special and I got very good. Very good is still very good.
It doesn't seem like a final, right? Because it's a very particular character story, which you know right off the bat, because it opens up with him listening to a song and being kind of mopey and walking around their little base or whatever it is. And it's his story all the way through, even though he's not there for half of it.
That's true.
But it's all about Rocket. Everything's about Rocket. And it's a weird way to end a trilogy where it's all, I guess it's all about family and like, you know, they're sticking up for their own and whatever. It's once again, and I say this all the time with these MCU movies, way better than it had to be, and way better than the blockbusters that we grew up with.
Sure. Oh, dude, this would have been CGI, and a special effects mess.
Despite the fact that Sylvester Stallone's in it, Stallone, he was so out of place.
He was.
He was good in two, though. Yeah. He's in it very briefly, but it was some of the most believable Stallone acting I've seen.
Really? In this, he was just kind of giving out orders. There was really no need for him. Other than exposition.
Yeah. You know who was enjoyable? It was Cosmo the Space Dog. It was a running gag, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, you saw what was coming though, right? With bad dog. It was good. It was fine. It was what it was. But all the characters are just a little bit off for me. Maybe that's right in James Gunn's wheelhouse. And that same with Super though. Like Super, I liked it a lot, but there was just something.
Is that the Rainn Wilson one?
Yeah. Something a little off about it, but maybe it's just, you know, my sense of humor and his sense of humor just don't line up perfectly.
I think they do.
That's what I would think too. But then it doesn't.
It does, but it does not.
Maybe it's because he's tethered. Maybe it's because he's got, you know, a leash with these PG-13 giant properties. I don't know. But Super, too. Like, a lot in Super to love. Super was a movie about a guy who wants to be a real superhero, but he's not, and he just takes it upon himself. Oh, Kevin Bacon's in there, too. Forgot.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
You're taking a break?
Oh, Kevin Bacon does play a douche in Super.
He's like, James, I'll work with you again, buddy, but come on.
Super. Yeah, let's take a quick little break and come back and talk about Nausicaa. I've been broken, Brian. Nausicaa broke me.
Nausicaa, well, let's put Anderson back together after this.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Matt. Did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope. Never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's Triviality.
For the fourth year in a row, Dawn is partnering with iHeartRadio for Can't Cancel Pride, a campaign that has raised over $11 million for the LGBTQ plus community. Dawn continuously strives to celebrate visibility and inclusivity for all, and that means supporting amazing organizations like Centerlink, providing safe spaces where over 52,000 community members go each week to receive critical and life-saving services. Dawn is there for your home or your home away from home. So visit can'tcancelpride.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Let's get into the our assigned film.
You like my obnoxious shirt?
That's a very obnoxious shirt.
I created it.
Don't, you did?
Yeah. It's been a dream of mine to have an obnoxious shirt like this. Oh. It just has a picture of a duck and then UCK because it's a duck shirt, right? I'm wearing this in honor of the Anaheim Ducks that got screwed in the NHL draft night. I got screwed in the...
How'd they get screwed?
A team that covered up child rape. Got the first overall pick, and the Ducks are getting the second overall pick. Interesting.
It seems like a poor decision.
It does.
Yeah, whoever approved that is...
it's a bingo ball. Approved it.
Cancel the bingo ball.
Did you talk to Tyler Booth?
I still like your the Blackhawks over there, but it is unfortunate what happened.
Blackhawks?
The Blackhawks, yes. And I feel like some other things probably should have taken place. Rather than them getting the number one overall pick when that's all still so recent. All right.
Is it a problem? They're scouting teenagers.
It is a problem, Brian. Yes, of course I talked to Booth. Yes, I talked to Tyler Booth yesterday. And we talked a lot of anime.
Tyler Booth, a signer of Nausicaa of the Valley of the... That's a lot of ofs. Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind was assigned to us by Tyler Booth. It's a 1984 film written and directed by Hayao Miyazaki. I saw the new dub. There was a poor dub apparently many years ago, and redubbed in 2005, starring Alison Lohman as the titular Nausicaa. Patrick Stewart, Shia LaBeouf, Uma Thurman also voicing in this. 89% of Rotten Tomatoes. This is streaming on HBO Max. Strangely enough, it's a despite being a redubbed and re-released by Disney in 2005, this is not on Disney Plus. This is HBO.
Yeah, HBO's got their claws in it. I was surprised as well. But they got a lot. They have like a Ghibli channel over there, almost like a section.
Oh, really?
When you watch these, because I was inspired and I watched Spirited Away.
Okay. Oh, cool.
I watched it in Japanese. Are you supposed to watch the dub?
It depends. I've talked. Now, there's going to be...
Because I couldn't get a clear answer online. It seemed like it was
careful
either,
with that group, too.
Because it seemed like, oh, you have to watch in Japanese. The nuance is lost and blah, blah, blah. And it seemed like normally that's the right thing to do. So I went Japanese with the subtitles.
Some of the older ones before Disney got involved, they kind of threw in the English sub dub.
They're clunky.
They're really bad. Like I was talking about Akira. We watched Akira.
We watched Randor the Japanese Potts. One, right?
Yeah. But I switched over and I listened to a little of the dub for like 5-10 minutes and it sounded like Snoopy. It sounded like Peanuts. It was really bad. Yeah. I was from the 80s. This one, like Brian said, was redubbed in 2005. And I like to think that when we have like actors' names who you recognize, they know how to do voice. A lot of the listeners who I've talked to who have a very large place in their heart for these anime movies will say, you know, it depends, it's project movie to movie. So this one with the new dub, I think that it's okay to watch it. With Spirited Away, I just watched that dubbed a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Totally worked.
Really?
But I used to be such a movie snob. I remember I saw Ponyo, however you say it, in the theaters, which is coming back, by the way, 15-year anniversary. Oh. I made sure that I found a theater. I had to drive farther, too, so I could watch the subtitled version because I'm like, otherwise, I'm not seeing the actual movie. But I've grown.
That's how I felt, and I wasn't sure if it...
How did it land, though, with you?
I enjoyed it a lot, but I was wondering if I would have enjoyed it more if it was dubbed.
I would recommend with something like Spirited Away, where there's so much going on, and it's kind of hard to follow at times because it's just so insane, that watching the dubbed would probably help, especially for novice viewers.
Good to know.
Myself included, right? And Miyazaki is the type of guy, and I kind of equate him to H.R. Giger, where we see things that are creative, right? Like Guardians of the Galaxy, exceptionally creative, but you can tell like there's a bunch of people saying what could be. Miyazaki seems like these things are just inside of them. Yeah, inside of him. He doesn't know why they're there, but they have to come out, and they do in these stories and these creatures and these characters. And
they're like living nightmares.
It seems like that with him. Mm. And definitely the case with Spirited Away, which still remains on basic. It's still my favorite anime movie I've seen.
Right, we're allowed.
But this one is the one that broke me and has me spending more time than I like to admit researching not only Miyazaki, really? But other iterations and other anime films.
Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Tell us first, Tyler Booth, I assume a fan of the genre. Why did he assign this to us?
Yeah, but you know, he doesn't go way, way back either. Like he first got turned on to these through Spirited Away, which I was pleased to hear because I was feeling a little bit embarrassed, you know, when I say that was my door to Pandora's box in this case.
That'd be like Star Wars getting into sci-fi.
Yeah.
I feel like that's totally understandable.
You end up over a Star Trek eventually, right?
Yeah, some do.
And Firefly. Yeah.
Doctor Who.
And Doctor Who, yeah. All right, so Nasca, take it away.
No, okay, I already set it up. But fun fact, although technically made before the official founding of Studio Ghibli, is it Ghibli or Ghibli?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll say it how Ghibli. I like.
It is widely considered to be the first Ghibli film.
Ghibli.
So this opens with... we're told that this is a futuristic, sort of apocalyptic landscape. It takes place 1,000 years after the fall of civilization. Mm-hmm. So it's some undetermined many, 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 many years in the future. Do we start with the old man or do we start with the girl?
I recall.
I think it was the old man.
It's a long movie and I've seen three since. So let me see if I have it in my notes where we start.
Well, we start with the old, I believe, either way, we start inside of what we're revealed to be a toxic jungle, which is creeping ever closer to this valley that is protected by the wind. That's why it's the Valley of the Wind. And Nausicaa, our heroine is the princess the Valley of the Wind.
Yes, she's very, very... a kind princess. She's
very empathetic.
Empathetic. And what it is, Brian's saying, is like 1,000 years after civilization has fallen and evolution is taking over, and the earth has ridden itself of human beings with this these poisonous forests, essentially.
Yeah, we come to learn that there were seven, they refer to the apocalyptic event in the past as the 7 days of fire.
Yes. And we see little glimpses of what that was, and there's large creatures involved. They're kind of tipping their hat to what's to come later in the movie. There's three warring factions in this movie. It's not unlike Game of Thrones at times, trying to keep up with who the warring factions are, why they're doing this, why they're doing that. We get to see how other rulers are in this universe.
It's got a little bit of Dune to it, too.
Got some Dune to it. And ultimately, it's about the Ohms and the large insects, which are the main. It's got a little Starship Troopers to it as well. And it's got Mandalorian involved. I should also say, before we get too far down the path, and I don't know how much longer we're going to talk about Nausicaa, other than this is an amazing movie. I absolutely love this fucking movie.
It was pretty cool.
It's got the cross between medieval weaponry and like modern day weaponry was really, really cool.
Because they're living almost, well, they're not nomadic, but they're living very meager lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a settlement.
There's no big cities. And no. This is also another response, and I was talking to Tyler Booth about this, to, you know,
Hiroshima.
Japan and Hiroshima and
Nagasaki.
And like these stories are obviously coming from a very painful place from Japan's history. And so ultimately it's about the themes are, you know, about giving back to the earth and working with the earth and not just killing everything. Nausicaa's main.
Cause there's these, sorry to interrupt. There's these mutated insects, or refer to them as insects, but they're the wild cards in this, you know, with the warring factions, they got to also deal with these insects.
They're monsters.
They can do whatever they want. Essentially.
I just absolutely love this movie. And, if you're hesitant to watch anime, and I know a lot of you are, myself included, because it just seems above my pay grade to use that phrase again. And also it's intimidating because there's so many people that are so invested in this genre. And a lot of it, and talking to Tyler Booth, a lot of these were not available until very recently. Like the only way to watch them is you'd have to like buy a Blu-ray from Japan and then
change your region on your.
There was all sorts of hoops like you had to jump through, and now you know,
special player just to play.
Yeah, get a region-free player.
They're readily available to rubes like you and I, like all of us, right? And we can partake in the majesty that are. It's the story, it's the animation, it's the creativity, and the themes that all work together in unison to make. I, throughout this movie, was really wishing that I was in a theater watching this. And if this were to show, and it does sometimes, I think just a few years ago, showed up at a theater, like Ponyo is doing soon. This is an all-immersive experience, would really lend itself to a movie like this.
Yeah, this is a spectacle.
It is. It's a spectacle. And I don't give a fuck if you, who have been into this for decades, know way more than me. That's fine. Educate me.
So confrontational.
I
so adversarial.
Because it's... It's intimidating. I go back to my little brother who's way into this shit. Mm. Way into it. Always has been. And
is like, he giving you the fucking finally, dude? Fuck.
No, he won it. He'd be like, psh, you don't even know what you're talking about. He gives you those. Like, it's one of those things where it's like almost this, like a hipster attitude.
This is part of the starter pack for this.
Yeah.
But a lot of our listeners are really cool. And they're you know, assigning us these movies. And it finally took. Nausicaa is the one that put me over the edge. I've kind of been threatening it with some of the ones that we've seen recently from other directors, but I'm definitely going to watch all of Miyazaki's catalog.
Did you see Princess Mononoke?
That's also another one of Miyazaki's ones. And I guess I talked to Booth about that yesterday for a while. And that one's a little more PG-13. Should not be watching that with the boy.
Speaking of which, a few too many upskirts in this movie for my taste.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up.
I am in. This is on HBO?
That was one of my problems as well. And here's the story anyways, and I tend to believe the story.
Because Nausicaa wears a inappropriately short skirt.
Yeah, very short skirt and you know, boots, and you see
isn't
a lot of thigh.
Isn't that shtick? Isn't it the...
Kind of is, and that gets mixed in with a lot of... I don't think Miyazaki's guilty of it as much as like some of the other...
I think the second or third time we get like clear butt cheek, I was like, all right. The first time I was like, oh, I didn't think I was going to see that.
Isn't it kind of like watching an American movie and going, there's a lot of guns in these movies?
Could be.
Is it just kind of part of it?
Yeah.
Part of their culture.
Yeah.
Celebrated part of their constitution.
So funny how Hollywood's all like, you know, we're on our soapbox and you shouldn't be using guns, which, you know, I'm on that side for sure. I think the guns are out of control. We need to have a discussion, right? Obviously, but I'm not going to get into that. But then every other movie is just like gun porn. It's like, guys, pick a fucking lane.
Yeah, what do you want?
So yeah, apparently the color of her pants happened to... No, this is real.
She wasn't wearing pants.
No, she was wearing pants. They were just white. And I think something in the transfer happened, so it made it look even more like it was, she's not wearing pants.
And what I saw was flesh.
And that's not even a skirt. Turns out, and I went back and I looked, and when you look closely, and I did so. I was looking close.
frame by frame.
She's wearing pants. And it's just, they're a color that looked like it might be her skin. And it's not even a skirt. It's her jacket. And she has a belt over her jacket. So it's a long jacket.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying.
She's not,
so it's not actually a skirt.
It's not a skirt. So if it's not pants, she's just not wearing pants. She's just wearing a jacket, like a flasher.
Okay, so you're saying, as originally illustrated, it should have been pants.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Hulk's not supposed to be green, but okay, it came out that way.
Okay, all right. And you know what? That's a reasonable explanation.
That's what they say. And you know, you just saw Spirited Away.
Yes.
Is there any like overtly sexual stuff in that?
No, there was. I don't think there was really any of it. No. Even with the romantic and the love interest, there was very little. I don't think there was really anything. It was very like kind of childish puppy love idealization. There wasn't really anything overtly.
The creativity in that, I think that might be the most creative movie I've ever seen.
It's very Guillermo in some ways.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
With the creatures and the grotesquery and the...
But for whatever reason, I feel like Guillermo is like, you know, he has to reach a little bit. Most of us do. Pretty much everyone does, right? You got to reach for creativity. And I get the sense that Miyazaki, like, he can't help it. Like he didn't need to have those three heads rolling around. Like, he could have just had something, but like that just came to him in a dream. And he's like, it has to be this.
And they don't say a word, but they're still somehow funny?
Yes. I highly recommend Spirited Away, but this is the one that makes me think that I'm missing out on all sorts of great filmmaking because of my own fear of dipping my toe. I'm in.
In a weird way, this felt like a bigger, I don't know what bigger is the word I'm using, but a bigger movie than Akira. You know what I mean? Like we mentioned before, it's a spectacle, you know,
story is bigger and it's easier to follow
and
wrap our heads around, right?
Yeah, with the warring factions and the last people on Earth.
But we really liked Weathering with You as well. It's a different flavor, and
very different.
Maybe, you know, and that's the thanks to TJ, who's also been opening our eyes. And yeah, all right. So here we are, and I think there's a lot of people listening who are like you and I, and there's a lot of people who are listening who's like, yeah, finally, you idiots, this is great. These are great movies that you just blindly ignore, foolishly.
And here we are. Thank you for educating us, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. And everyone else, TJ, and everyone else Tyler. Oh, okay. We have one coming up in the very near future, Brad.
Really?
And that's My Neighbor Totoro. And that's thanks to Leif Nording.
Oh.
Leif. God damn it, Leif. Sorry.
Could be Leif. There's, yeah.
Nordling.
Leif Erickson.
Leif Fiennes.
Anyways, My Neighbor Totoro will be watched by us, and we can watch that with the kids.
Ooh.
That's G-rated, yo.
Really?
And that's Miyazaki as well. All right. So
I'm excited.
What else?
I kind of want to save Judy Blume. We're almost at an hour. What did you have? You had something unofficial or something, right?
I'm just gonna talk Puss in Boots. I don't have a whole lot to say about
Puss in Boots. The people are waiting for it.
So I think this is a classic case of
classic film.
You going in, and a lot of people going in thinking they're just seeing some Puss in Boots bullshit, right? Which the first
my expectations were low.
The first one was high. I think it's like 86% on the Rotten Tomatoes. I looked it up recently.
This is the Paddington 2 of Puss in Boots movies.
Paddington 1 was very good.
Right.
Paddington 2 was holy shit.
Yeah, that's what this was.
Yeah. But I mean, I'd hold Paddington 1 and 2 in a different league than Puss in Boots 2. Of course. This was like your number 2 movie of the year.
I think Paddington might have been number 1. No, I saw it late.
So Paddington, I had heard from a number of people that it was absolutely fantastic. The first one, Paddington.
Paddington, okay.
So. And it stood up to that. Like it delivered. Even though I went in like arms folded, like there's no way Paddington's going to be good.
This dumb bear, come on.
It's going to be awful. It was way better than I had expected. Even after having been told that it's very good. Paddington 2 came out. I was already waiting in line, and it delivered. Like holy shit! Like so funny, so well made, so. Speaking of Guillermo del Toro, I think that was his favorite movie of the year, Paddington 2.
A lot of people's favorite movie of the year.
So unexpected, right? Paddington 2 is one of the best movies of the year. There's parts of Puss in Boots, especially when they do the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse animation, which was few and far between. There was a select scenes that were...
Yeah, usually involving the wolf.
Denoted for that, yeah. And the wolf was great. And there was a lot of...
The wolf was great. The wolf was legitimately scary.
Without the wolf, the movie loses an entire star. Puss himself is fantastic. I loved his accent. And I think there's a whole lot more of that in the first one, if you like Puss.
It gets a whole star and a half back because of Jack Horner.
I think there was a Wicker Man reference in there, which I appreciated, about the bees.
Right.
Pretty sure that was a direct reference with the Not the Bees. One point, it was better than I expected, but it did not live up to all the hype from you and a number of listeners. Now, with just as many listeners tell me that you got to watch this, you're not being fair, would be like, would hit me with like, hey, it's good. It's better than you expect, but people need to relax. It's not like the number two movie of the year, as Brian is suggesting. And that's kind of where I fall. Atticus and I really enjoyed watching it. I even got chills a couple times, which I would not like to admit. And I wish I could rewind on that part right now.
What about the cricket? What about
I'll mark it.
The cricket was very funny. Mm. It was really well done, but it doesn't hold a candle to at least 12 other movies that we saw.
No, I disagree with that.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
Every time I get anything up inside my fingernail, which happens way more often than you'd imagine. Like I get things like popped up in there because I work with my hands a lot and I got cuts on them all the time. I always think of puss, you know, doing that with the giant. It's a good movie, especially if you have kids. Enjoy yourself. But if you're like a grown man, you don't have kids in the room, I don't know how much you're going
to
get out of it.
So I don't need to see it.
I don't think you need to.
Oh, we absolutely do. I don't think you value a human life.
If you're in a bad mood and you want some cheering up and you're just looking for some empty calories, it's a little bit better than that. It's a good movie. But the hype needs to settle down.
Four-star film.
Number two is your fuck.
Life changing.
Brian, the amount of movies we should watch, we should have at least 3 to 5 movies in our top five at the end of the year that are 5-star movies.
Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't. Some years we don't.
Puss in Boots.
It's very enjoyable.
It is. It's enjoyable. It is enjoyable, but it wasn't like I thought about it.
On the fun scale.
I was going to say, it's actually really fun.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Like, I still think about that movie almost fucking daily. I think about that movie. Like, that's forever in my brain.
It's on par.
Puss in Boots is not on par. No. Puss in Boots is...
Spider-Man's all better.
An unexpected pleaser. Crowd pleaser.
A gem.
If you like it that much, Brian, go watch the first one. There's more of the same. Mm. Especially if the wolf isn't the one giving an extra star for you. Like, it's Puss himself.
An extra star for you.
That's what I said, but you said to give it an extra star and a half.
I said Jack Horner. Okay. The little Jack Horner is out in the corner. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, right? It was him, right?
The big guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See? Oh, yeah, no sticking power.
No, I forgot the name. I had a second thought.
All right, so Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. I didn't even say the full title. He really likes his gazpacho. Gazpacho. Oh, and this is also a little throw-in, just because we're a little light in this week. If you like Horatio, no wait, Hank Azaria, Horatio Sands, Hank Azaria. If you like yourself some Hank Azaria over the top, you seen American Sweethearts?
Oh no, I have not.
I was assigned American Sweethearts off like under the table off the show.
I like that.
Hank Azaria steals every scene he's in. He is doing the most over the top Latin American I've ever seen, and that's from a man who's done Birdcage. He did Caesar and Birdcage.
Wow,
more over the top, and he has some. Laugh out loud, very, very funny scenes in this 2004 movie. I don't know, but it's a Brian movie from beginning to end. You would love it.
I thought
you
were talking about a new film. No, it's the John Cusack, right?
Yeah, Catherine Zeta-Jones. This is a movie that was made for Brian, but
America's Sweethearts.
Yeah, America's Sweethearts. I called it America's Sweethearts. America's Sweethearts. Yeah, this is a Brian movie. I think it was streaming somewhere. I could be wrong. But yeah, Eric Robbins assigned me that one, and there is definitely some great Hank Azaria stuff in there. Very, very funny Hank Azaria stuff. The rest of the movie is what Eric and I had a nice discussion on what could have made it great in my eyes anyways.
Billy Crystal got a co-writing credit.
He co-wrote it. It's a very Billy Crystal movie and much of it. Much of it is very Billy Crystal. All right. I like all that. And Christopher Walken crushes it in America's Way. This is an unofficial, not a recommendation, but if you're looking for a movie night with your wife and she likes rom-coms, you could do way worse.
Actually, now I want to see it.
This is a Brian movie from beginning to end.
Yeah, I can't believe I haven't seen it.
And I was watching it thinking, if Brian assigned me this movie, I would be so pissed off. Yeah.
Really, you should probably approach movies regardless.
You know what I was able to do?
Assign them to you.
Because that wasn't in my head. As I was able to kind of sit back and really key in on what makes a good rom-com and just realize how I would not be able to do it. It takes a real skill set, I think, to be able to make an effective rom-com. And this one nails it, I think.
Okay.
The critics didn't like it.
That was your observation.
Critics didn't like it. Neither did the... We have Eric and I were talking. There's a theory that Eric has that, and I think he might be right, is this was coming off of High Fidelity. It was Cusack's first movie after High Fidelity, and a lot of people who wanted more High Fidelity went and saw this
very light
rom-com. Yeah, and we're not in.
Okay.
All right.
I believe you.
So that's and then next week maybe we'll do a little Judy Blume. Forever?
Forever.
Okay.
Or just next week.
I'm going to have three full movies next week.
Jeez, so,
plus Judy Blume, I guess.
How am I going to see these films?
don't know. But also, have I assigned you Out of the Past from Jared Patrick?
No.
Oh, we're going to see a noir classic, 1947, Out of the Past, Bri. Mitchum.
Oh,
yeah. Ouch. Don't make that noise when I assign you a listener film. Didn't seem right.
The past.
Not Puss in Boots, I guess.
There are very few Pusses or Boots. Oh, Out of the Past. You're going to rent this on Amazon for just $3.
We'll be watching Out of the Past. Let's catch up with the classic, kids.
All right.
Okay.
It's a very short film, 97 minutes.
It's not that short, Brian. It's an hour and 37 minutes, which is not...
Well, I'm trying to sell it to people. I'm saying it's not a big time investment. I think if people hear those 2 hours and 20 minutes, they're less likely to see it.
Unless it's Guardians. I wonder if they did cut something out of that awkward transition you're talking about.
Or, I don't know. It was a good scene, but then to the next one was like, whoa, okay, we're here.
I don't remember being affected by that, but I do remember there was some clunkiness going on with edits and line readings, and there was some of that, which you wouldn't expect from...
No, not exactly my thought. Ah. Thanks, Tyler Booth, for assigning us Nausicaa. We appreciate it, and we enjoyed it. So, good on you. If you guys want to assign us a movie to watch and discuss and view and flick fest, just go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/thefilmvault, and assign us or sign up for the assigner level. You can do it all at once if you want to. It's 6 months of membership, gets you the right to assign us a film. But if you'd like to pay all at once, you can get in line today and assign us a movie.
We got some more coming up, Brian. We got some more anime coming up with Perfect Blue, thanks to Chad Ice. And then, of course, My Neighbor Totoro, which we'll be watching in a couple weeks.
All right.
Which is also a Miyazaki movie.
Check out The Lion-Faced Boy. They're our featured artists. They are AndersonandBrian.com for more info. AndersonandBrian.com is where you go for the Amazon link, which we appreciate you guys using, by the way. Thank you very much. Instagram is Anderson and Brian. TikTok is Anderson and Brian. The Film Vault on Twitter and Facebook. The Film Vault Podcast on YouTube. Speaking of which, thanks, Eric Kath, for maintaining that YouTube page. Appreciate it. Thanks to Mike Cole. I recently went over to look at our gambling stats thinking, oh, we haven't assigned anything to each other in a while. I wonder if Mike Cole's keeping it up. He'll see tallies who wins each week and who wins the month. Mike is on top of it. So thanks for your help. Appreciate that. Mitch Burns, as always, with all your work with the listener top five, the listener list, the listener professions. Appreciate it. And Giovanni for your tragicomic emails about your past.
I'm going to be reading that top of the show next on the top five episode this week, which is top five irresponsible gun handling scenes. Thanks to Brian McCauley. Bet he's the better Brian in my life.
Check how well
Brian Border is the best Brian, but he spells his name properly.
Okay,
so he doesn't fall into
that. Of the Brians with the Y.
Yes,
am I at least better? Top two.
I think you're top five, which is good, right?
Hey, I'll stop there.
Yeah,
stop there. I had enough. Thanks all you guys for listening. Check out loadedforbeardoc.com, and until next time,
we do it for Van Gogh. You did me like Judas. You did me like Judas.
You did me like Judas. It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.